Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today we explore the realms of living mythology with the Pep Talk with John Carl Pepe, one of our legacy shows. But first, I will regale you with a legend of Hercules. Now, while awaiting for Hercules to return to the MCU in future films, I started rereading the older Marvel tales, beginning with the Thor vs. Hercules graphic anthology book, which collected some memorable encounters between the two gods. I enjoyed that so much that it drove me even further into the past, to Hercules' first appearances in the MCU. He appeared in the Avengers number 10, however, in time, it was proved to be an imposter. Immortus, who's a variant of Kang, and who is very much a part of the tales currently unfolding in the MCU, pitted him against Thor. And then, as in all the later tales, they're fairly evenly matched. And from there, I went to Essential Thor Volume 2, which actually has the early encounters all collected. Once upon a time, I had almost every single issue of the Thor saga, but that was a long time ago. My rereading is making it possible to revisit all these tales that I loved and to experience them in black and white rather than color, but that's okay. The first official appearance of Hercules is in Journey into Mystery Annual Number 1. And in it, Thor finds himself in the Olympian realms after fighting with storm giants near a long-lost portal to Olympus. Shortly thereafter, he meets Hercules, and they fight over who is more worthy to cross a stream first. Their epic battle is eventually stopped by Zeus, who insists that they shake hands and part friends. He then sends Thor back and buries the portal under a mountain. Thor decides not to trust Loki with an account of what happened or tip him off as to the existence of the portal. Thor then comes back shortly thereafter in Journey into Mystery with the Mighty Thor, number 124, which has Hercules on the cover and an announcement, "Enter Hercules, the glory and the grandeur." As the demon and his army conquer Asia, Thor finds himself back in New York City. After interacting with the common folk and flying through the skies, he changes back into Dr. Donald Blake and visits his beloved Jane Foster. Jane was recently hospitalized for smoke inhalation, and she's not improved. She reveals that she's depressed as Don Blake keeps disappearing on her for long and short periods without explanation, and she can no longer take it. Don reveals that he is Thor and promises to be more consistent in the future. Though it pains him to break his promise, Thor flies to Asia to confront the demon. In Asgard, Father Odin, who was watching, is angry that his son has defied his command. And meanwhile, on Olympus, Zeus sends his son Hercules back to Earth to be part of the Age of Marvels, a time which will rival the Golden Age of Heroes in antiquity. In the next issue, number 125, Thor fights and defeats the demon. He retrieves the Nornstone that gave the demon his power and returns to Asgard, where he brings the gem back to its rightful resting place. Now in the USA, Hercules performs a feat of great strength and is brought to New York. He parties hardy, sings some madrigals, and thwarts a robbery, gaining much adoration in the process. He then meets Jane Foster and is smitten by her. Thor fights his way out of Asgard after Odin forbids him to leave and orders Baldur to smite him. On Earth, he encounters Hercules and discovers that the Greek and his beloved Jane have linked up. They roughhouse for a bit and trade some insults. The stage is set for another epic battle. And in the very next issue, number 126, Hercules and Thor battle in New York City, trading insults and causing massive amounts of property damage. Why are there immortals currently clashing in the streets? Because they vie for the affections and company of Jane Foster. Odin, who watches from afar, is still miffed at his son and, heeding the counsel of Sigrid the Merciless, halves Thor's divine strength mid-tussle. Thor loses. Hercules is adored by spectators and offered stardom by an agent. Odin relents after witnessing his son's humiliation. Jane seeks to make everything right with Thor, but now the Thunder God feels he is no longer worthy of wooing Jane. Now, this first tale, abridged but otherwise comic accurate, appeared in a animated cartoon in the Marvel Superheroes Mighty Thor cartoon series. It was available on VHS, and it's also available on DVD, and there's even a parody of it called Dad Jokes with Thor and Hercules as part of Marvel Mashup. I have a copy of the VHS, and I have a copy of the DVD, and I did see the parody, so I recommend this story greatly. It was missing some of the fights with the Olympian and the Norse god, and it also is missing the part about the demon. But otherwise, it stuck with the comic, and it used the comic's art. And now, without further ado, we will proceed to the Pep Talk with John Carl Pepe. Greetings and welcome, John. How are you today?
I am very well, Hercules. Greetings and welcome to yourself. Once again, here we are another month. This is the Pep Talk. So again, thank you for having me, Hercules. Before we get to the guest tonight, the guest of honor, I just have a couple of birthday announcements that I would like to
awesome.
Roll out tonight. Because usually we start on a down note, and I want us to have an upbeat note. So we are celebrating birthdays today. Three significant, one yesterday, two from today. So I just want to give a happy birthday wish to Angel Santiago. He is my co-host and founder of Amazing Action Comics. We co-host a weekly independent comic review podcast on AmazingActionComics.com. And he's a great guy, great artist, really loves comics, and I love talking with him about comics on our podcast every week. So happy birthday, Angel. Welcome to 47. I hope you enjoy it like I've been. I also want to give the two folks that birthdays are today, because Angel was yesterday. First one is Aaron Lee Burke Moran. Aaron, I got to know through a mutual friend, John Ashburn. Aaron is I believe, a co-founder and a former member of one of my favorite bands, Caspian. Caspian is an instrumental rock band. I say they're the soundtrack of our lives. These guys are great, and Aaron put a lot of heart and soul into that and getting that band to where it is today. And then he is now playing the role of father. And so happy birthday, Aaron. You're a great guy, great musician. I know you're a great dad, too. So enjoy this birthday. Finally, I would love to give a very, very special birthday wish to one of my oldest and dearest friends, a man who founded our band of brothers that formed in college, a man who is a fearless freelance journalist and is a great writer in his own right. His name, Douglas Cuenca, but we all know him as Zeke. So happy birthday, Zeke. As I promised, I'm dedicating this show to you. So this is for you, Doug Cuenca, or like I said, Zeke, as we all know him for, gosh, far, far too many years now. He was a great guy. He's a great guy. He there's a lot of people who inform your way of thinking and looking at things over time, and they come to you at certain, points where they really have an impact. So, yeah, I met him in my freshman year of college, and he is definitely one of those people that has informed, a lot of how I look at things and listen to things and analyze things. So, that's what a philosophy major as a friend in college will do for you. Now, to another person who I hold in such high esteem and love what he does. I said this last time. So first of all, congratulations. He is our first returning guest on the Pep Talk. And it's very fitting because here we are in October. There's that chill in the air. Halloween is coming, my favorite holiday, favorite time of year. And one of the great things that we always love to look forward to for Halloween, the Halloween weekend, which is always jam-packed full of events. But, man, the Chiller Theater Expo. Happens every 6 months, last weekend of April, last weekend of October, and this is a convention that is so nostalgia and pop culture themed, and so many great people come through to meet fans, and it just everybody I know who goes to Chiller as a guest really has a good time, really enjoys it, loves the sense of community, loves the meet and greets and talking to some of their favorite stars from their youth into adulthood. And one of the men who is responsible for bringing such joy to the masses, like I said, he delivers joy. And that is my guest tonight. Welcome back to the Pep Talk, Stuart Hirsch, the great one, as I call you. Welcome back. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Wow, what an intro. That was I didn't realize I was the first returning guest. That's pretty,
you are,
what an honor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, again, we had you on in April to talk about Chiller, and we got to talk about you, talking about you, and you shared a lot of great stuff with us, and we really didn't cover everything that I wanted to talk about. So I want to kind of go a little bit more into that. But again, you know, here we are. We're facing another Chiller in just a few weeks. And I know everybody's New York Comic Con crazy for next week, but I always love the Chiller convention because it's local for us. And again, it really is a great opportunity.
And it's got the cool guests. All the cool guests are at Chiller.
All the cool guests are at Chiller.
You won't find these guys at Comic Con. These guys are the people that you grew up with, that you loved. It's those people in those sitcoms. It's those people from those horror movies that aren't the ginormous ones that Comic Con. They got the cool ones. They got the ones that are and they sometimes put the whole cast together from them. Array of
these
celebrities,
reunions are always great.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've had some fun in the past putting together some great reunions. This time around, I am bringing in a couple of what I call Disney legends. So I'm bringing in Donnie Dunnigan, who, God bless him, he just turned 88 years old. Donnie was the original voice of Bambi. Now, how many living legends of Disney classic movies voices is still around, and Donnie is. And he was the voice of Bambi when he was a little kid. And then while he was a little kid, he did something in a complete other direction. And he was a kid. He was the son of Frankenstein in Son of Frankenstein, with not only Boris Karloff doing the monster, but Bela Lugosi and Basil Rathbone in the same film. He was probably the luckiest kid at that time to work with those stars.
Yeah.
So
Donnie, what a great cast, right?
Absolutely. So Donnie is to me, he's a Disney legend. He's a monster movie legend, and I'm bringing him in. And in the same token, Disney legends, if everybody like me grew up with, and I'm sure every generation has, the original Mary Poppins movie with Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, well, Jane, the little girl who sang, you know, if you want this choice position, you know, the little letter thing at the beginning, everybody was like, what was that, him? And so she is coming in. She's, you know, of course, originally from England. She sounds amazing on the phone. She sounds just like Julie does these days. She's just a lot of fun. And that is Karen Dotrice, who played the original Jane Banks in Mary Poppins. And then, last but not least, making his – oh, and by the way, this is the first East Coast show that Karen Dotrice is doing. And same thing for Donnie. First East Coast shows for both of them, and especially this area. And now coming in for the first time to any convention, he's been asked for years, but I got him to come in now, is Robert John Burke. And Robert John Burke was, I mean, if people were at the last chiller and they met Peter Weller, who was RoboCop in RoboCop 1 and 2, Robert John completed the series. He was RoboCop 3.
Yep.
And on top of that, if people are horror fans, he was the star of Thinner, Stephen King's Thinner. And and he was in that film with another guy who I had once brought out to Chiller, Michael Constantine, who is was a wonderful guy. He just passed recently, and he was in his 90s. He had a wonderful, wonderful life. And he was – the funny thing about it is if people – don't know, you know, if they just see Thinner and they see this gypsy man, you know, come up and touch this man's cheek and go, Thinner, and they see this long white hair and this, you know, nose with a wart on it and everything, they don't realize that that's the lovable grandfather from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes.
It's the same guy.
Yep.
So, you know, anybody wants to do a really, really kind of mashup Halloween costume this year, just do, you know, the gypsy guy with the long hair and the wart on his nose carrying a Windex bottle, I think would probably be the perfect combination tribute to Michael Constantine.
That would be funny. That's good. I like that.
But anyhow, go
ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. We're going to do this back and forth.
Say,
go ahead. No,
you know,
after you.
I would say if anybody is able to go to see Robert John Burke, I mean, I can't make it this year because, as we were talking before, I work in a comic shop.
Yes.
So weekends are occupied. And so Chiller, I've always loved to go to Chiller, and I always feel bad when I miss out. I think maybe someday I'll take that time off to go. But if I were to go to Chiller to see Robert John Burke, of course, I would love to talk about Thinner, but my big question would be, I don't know, I think they came out almost around the same time, the RoboCop 3 and the Thinner, because I would almost think he would want to do RoboCop, he would want to start shooting Thinner first, right, when he's, before he starts getting cursed, then, you know, drop all that weight because you're going to need to lose that weight to get into the RoboCop suit. Because apparently I've heard that thing is a real pain to endure. So that's a question I would have for
that's
him.
That's interesting.
How uncomfortable is that?
You know what? Yeah, you know, I got to talk to him about this stuff because I never asked him these questions, but I'll have the weekend to sit with him and ask him everything. It's funny because I just – Do you think that he remained his own weight and he's just in one of those fat suits like Weird Al did for fat?
It's been a while since I've seen Thinner, and I think you might be right. But there's that point though by the end where he gets inhumanly thin, I believe too. So that's definitely a lot of makeup work. So he probably has a base.
I bet you
there's some prosthetics at the beginning, and then they gradually move those away to give that effect. But you know what? I've been wanting to watch this movie again for a while. It's been a very long time since I've seen it. So yeah, I'll do my research on my end. I'll rewatch Thinner, and then I'll give you my.
He has, absolutely, and then maybe I could hook you up with Jana for your show.
That'd be fun.
His other credits include. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm looking at the picture, the still actually from Thinner that's on the Chiller website of Michael Constantine, with the hand on the cheek, and that neck, that definitely looks prosthetic. There's no doubt about that. So yeah, he
it
probably
looks like
was able
if you. Yeah, I mean, if you looked if you saw the movie like Stan and Ollie, Ollie, that was a fat suit,
and they
do them so well now. They're so convincing.
Yeah. It's nice to know that he didn't have to Robert De Niro that role, start with gaining that weight and then losing that weight right away.
And then have reporters follow you for years asking you how you took it off so fast. And that was actually a known stipulation of Robert De Niro's rep, publicist, that you couldn't ask him that question, how he took the weight off. So that still remains a mystery. Yeah. Robert John Burke's other credits.
Where's Christian Bale's Christian Bale's story about, you know, he lost all that weight for The Machinist and then uh-huh. wanted to gain all this weight to be muscular for Batman and just was eating like donuts and working out. And then he got really disappointed because he was like, well, I'm going to be Batman and I got to probably really bulk up because they're probably going to want me with my shirt off. And he's like, I had one scene where I had my shirt off. The rest of the time I'm in that RoboCop type uncomfortable suit.
Wow. Yeah, John, also, he was in Gossip Girl.
Yep.
He was in Law and Order, SVU. He was in he had some really great credits. And he was in a movie called Dusk Devil. If you mm-hmm. got real deep horror fans, he was the star of that film. And he's just got some great credits. But as I said, for years, he was getting calls from, you know, Comic-Cons and stuff to come out, and I'm the first guy that he said, all right, come on, you sound like a good guy, let's do this. And happy that I'm able to bring him into Chiller, because Chiller's been good to me. I've been doing Chiller for over 18 years, and Kevin Clement, the head owner guy, who does this from his heart, and he does what I call a party, as compared to some of these other conventions that just feel like warehouses, like rigid warehouses with ropes and stuff, you know, for the people.
Yeah.
Chiller feels like a party, you know?
Yeah, yeah. People don't feel like, you know, some of these conventions, you feel like people are being herded like cattle. Chiller isn't really set up like that. Chiller is, it's like open rooms, you mingle, you meet, you can move
absolutely.
Around. And then again, it is, I mean, it is the essence of a party, especially on Saturday night, because, you know, besides the television and film actors, there's also a heavy musical presence as well. And so one of the great things about Chiller, and Kevin, of course, is a musician as well with his band, the Dead Elvi. So one of the great things about Chiller is every Saturday night of Chiller is a rock and roll party. And
absolutely.
You get the Dead Elvi performing. You know, the Accelerators, the Greg Woods Band, Pat Horgan at Thunder Road. This year, two pretty cool special guests are Artemis Pyle from Lynyrd Skynyrd, who's going to be performing, and one of my friends, who I think I got to introduce you guys at the last time, or one of the last times he was at Chiller, Constantine Maroulis. Who was an American Idol.
Oh, yeah, Constantine, what a great guy. What a cool guy.
Right? I went to high school with Constantine, and, you know, always the nicest guy. And he's a really, really great guy. And he's always great at these shows as well. So it's always nice to see him to do a hometown convention like Chiller. So he'll be there on Saturday night as well performing. So it's
going to be really cool. And they got Ace Frehley in the mix. They got, I mean, there's a lot of cool music guys.
Oh, yeah, that is a great party. And, you know, one of the fun things about the party, the Saturday Night Music Party, is it's technically after the convention floor, right?
On Saturday it ends at 7, and then the party begins, yeah.
And that is technically open to the public. You can just come into the hotel
absolutely
just for that rock and roll party. But of course, you want to experience.
I think
Chiller props. Yeah, you want to go in and you want to meet the guests and you want to get your stuff signed and ask questions. Like ask Robert Burke. You know. Did they try to get Peter Weller and he couldn't make it and you decided to show up or.
Yeah.
So that would be great. If Peter Weller could come back and to get the two of them, that would be really cool.
Well, maybe up the road that could be a possibility, you know, because this is, you know, this is Robert's first time out. And I think he's going to have a blast. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, so, yeah, just to talk about that Saturday Night Music thing. That's what I mean about Chiller being a party is when you buy your ticket to come into Chiller, you automatically get that concert for free. And those are names performing in that concert that it's such a cool bonus. You know, there are so many conventions out there that you go in and you buy your ticket and then they're like, oh, you want to see this? Well, they're doing that at New York Comic Con with just Q&A. Like
it's a
separate I went online and I was looking, you know, I'm not out to bash anything or you know, I look, maybe one day I'll be doing my guests there, hopefully, if I don't kick them off too much with what I'm saying now. They're doing that Back to the Future reunion thing. They're going to have Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox. And I was looking at that, and there's an admission for, you know, there's a ticket admission, which is not a cheap ticket admission, to just watch them get interviewed on stage and do their Q&A thing. And that's completely separate than buying an autographed picture or taking a picture with them. That's a whole other. So it's admission in the door, plus you got to pay for your autograph, plus you got to pay for your picture with them, plus you're not even given the interview for free, you know.
Right,
where at
right.
Chiller, you're getting that extra fun on stage, and what a blast! It's just I can't wait. Every year, I can't wait till Chiller comes along again, because it's and luckily it comes along twice a year. I mean, this is the one.
Yeah.
This is the big one that they call it, the Halloween weekend one.
Right.
It'll be the 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Hilton Parsippany Hotel. And if you guys want to look up the array of celebrities on there, I mean, besides the guys I'm bringing in, you know, there's other people bringing in. Marla Gibbs is coming in, 91 years old, from the Jeffersons. Cheech is going to be there, from Cheech and Chong. I mean, there's some... Yeah. Amazing. You can go to it's chillertheater.com, and theater is the, you know, the theater, theatrical way, R-E at the end.
Because it's a classy event, so it's R-E, yeah.
Yes. Theater, yes. Thespians, yes. So that's it. Go ahead.
You can buy your tickets online. You can also buy your tickets at the door. I believe there is a bit of a price break if you do buy them in advance, but even if it's something you decide day of, you want to just roll up, you go to the hotel and you can buy your ticket right at the door and, you know, enjoy, you know, the opportunity for the meet and greets. There's a really good dealer room there. Stick around for the party. Halloween weekend, you know, people will dress up for Chiller, whether it's April or October.
Yeah.
But for Halloween, there's a costume contest. At least I know they used to do the costume contest right before the Halloween rock and roll party. So wear your finest costume and cosplay and go and meet people. Dress up as RoboCop and then go meet Robert Shaw.
Hey, that would be so cool. That would be so cool. You know, it's funny. When I bring in a guest for the first time to Chiller, I always start telling them, you know, they go, well, what's it like? You know, I go, oh, the people are cool. I go, the people are really cool. I said, they may have cat eyes and fangs and a hatchet in their head, but they're really cool people. And they're like your biggest fans, you know. But
everybody
has so much fun at Chiller. It is just a blast. And also, you guys, the other great thing about Chiller is it's all self-contained in that Hilton Hotel in Parsippany, New Jersey. So everybody's in there. So you can get a room in the hotel, and you can just go down and, you know, people are walking the bar area and the lobby and everything all night long. I mean, it's just a nonstop weekend. It's really fun.
You know, you mentioned Christopher Lloyd being at Comic-Con. You know at Christopher Lloyd first? Chiller.
I'm sorry? Yes,
wasn't
Christopher
Lloyd
at the last
Chiller
recently? Yes, he was at the last Chiller. And boy, nonstop line for him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Even another great, Ralph Macchio. I got to meet Ralph Macchio a bunch of years ago at Chiller. Now he's over at Comic-Con now too, you know. So it's a really great opportunity to meet people in a
Absolutely.
In a more intimate personal setting than a big show like a Comic-Con. I remember Ralph Macchio had a great line. Didn't miss a beat when I saw him. I said, you know, growing up, a lot of people said I looked like you. And he looked at me and he goes, well, you know what? When I wear my glasses, people say I look like you. And I was like, that's funny.
Well, there you go. I met Ralph the first time I ever met him. He was right next to Joe Pesci at an autograph signing at Tower Records for the Cousin Vinny CD. I'm sure everybody has a copy of that one. But
I have it on vinyl.
It was it was Joe Pesci singing songs in character. It's a great album.
Yep.
It's a great album. Yo Cousin Vinny, you know, great album. So I go up to them and I ask, you know, I brought down a Karate Kid figure for Macchio to sign. You know, on the card, you know, one of those mint things. And I go up to him and I'd never seen him before. And he looks at it and he just grabs it and he shows, cause this is really like Pesci's thing, you know, but he's holding this up over his head going, "Hey, look, I didn't even know they still made these," you know, and it's just really funny. Made everybody laugh. So, he was pretty cool guy.
I want to digress a second because that show Cobra Kai that has now brought Ralph Macchio back into everybody's lives.
Sure.
Which is great. He's awesome on the show. He's really good. Like this, you know, you're always like, "Oh, the Karate Kid." The guy's an actor. He's talented, right?
Absolutely.
And he hits all these notes on the show really well. There is a scene that takes place in prison where him and William Zabka are negotiating with Martin Cove, right? And Ralph Macchio is like, "Look, I'll set you up with a lawyer so we can get you out of jail so you can help us take down the bigger bet." And Martin Cove looks at him and goes, "Fine, but it better be a good lawyer, not one of your Goomba cousins."
Great inside
great
joke.
In that.
Perfect. Yes. Yep. Oh, that's great. Nice.
So a couple things, you know, when people find out that I'm interviewing you, or, you know, again, really quick, like you're talking, you know, yes, you get excited about Chiller because you're involved and you're there. Look, even if I'm not going to Chiller, I get excited about Chiller, right? That's why I love talking about it. I love telling people who's going to be there.
Because you know how much fun you've had there in the past. You know,
oh my God,
I remember you coming up to talk to Tony Clifton when I had him there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then,
you know,
and again,
and,
you know, you have always brought such great guests, but I always like to make a point to say hi to you too, because you are a very special part of Chiller as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you, man.
Yeah, well,
that's very,
and
very
that's not
nice
just
of you.
For, that's not just for me. I promised that I would say hello to you on behalf of a friend of mine, Ken Reedy. Every time,
oh, sure.
the last time and this time, he's like, tell Stuart I said hi. We got to meet, you know, Gavin McLeod, Captain Steubing through him. I love Stuart. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
You know. So there's that.
Cool.
And so yeah. So Ken Reedy says hi.
Okay.
I know
cool.
Ken.
Give him a hello back.
Ken went to Wagner with one of my best friends from high school, Gambati. So Ken and I got to hang out in college, and we reconnected recently, you know, because of the Facebook. Ken's always been a really great guy. No one has as much love, I think, for the 1989 Batman movie and Prince and that specific Prince Batman soundtrack than Ken Reedy. I think Ken Reedy holds that title because the guy had a life-size cardboard stand-up of Michael Keaton in the bat suit in his college dorm. So
there you go. That says it all.
Another person actually directly from the world of comics, a comic creator, editor named Mark Chiarello posted after April's Chiller weekend. He talks about how, and I love this post, he was at the hotel for a wedding, right?
Yeah.
And had no idea that there was this convention going on. And noticed that there was the Zoom reunion. And so
Really? Oh, I didn't even know this
posted,
was. Wow.
Yeah, so he posted, he said, "I got to go, you know, I wound up staying at this hotel, there's this convention, and there turns out to be a Zoomer." And he's like, "I love that show. I grew up with this show." And he posted this on Facebook. And, you know, "Thank you to all involved in Chiller for making this happen." And I commented. I don't know if you saw, but I said, "Oh, you know, Stuart Hirsch, this is the guy that made that happen." And for people who don't know, when we say Zoom reunion, we're not talking about some reunion via Zoom. Again, if you're of a certain age, PBS had a show called Zoom. It was all kid-created content for kids. It was very influential to a lot of people. I caught it on the tail end because I was a 75 baby, but I definitely have memories of Zoom. And you know, that's, we've talked about this last time. One of the great things you do is you put these reunions together when you can for Chiller. So so that's always really, really cool that you could do that.
I got something, and again, I got something on the same lines for April, but I can't talk about it. But it is,
it is
on the same lines. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And again, that's just great because you reconnect people with their childhoods, but you make it real for them because they get to talk to
these people,
shake hands with these people. And you, yes, and you had said last time, and I love that you said this, that that is the thrill for you, being on that side of the table, watching people's reactions.
Watching the smile.
And sharing these experiences. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's bringing these times back to people. And that's how Kevin feels. You know, I remember a long time ago, Kevin just telling me, he does these things. You know, there's a lot of guys that own these conventions and they just, it's just, you know, what could I rake in? And Kevin really is doing it from the heart. It's like he's bringing people, he wants to bring people back to their fun days, to their happy memories, to their happy places. And that's really what Chiller is.
Yep. And it combines everything you love, man. Horror, nostalgia, pop culture, music.
Absolutely.
You know, and it goes way back. You know, again, you have, because we're talking about Son of Frankenstein and having you know, the voice of Bambi again. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name. Donnie Dunnigan, right? So you have Donnie Dunnigan there. So that's a guy whose career starts back in the 40s. And then, you know, something that's really kind of neat that's going to be there, you know, that's more recent are people from the movie Galaxy Quest. And then even another great throwback to the 40s are these two guys from New Jersey who do a really great Abbott and Costello impersonation, and they're going to be there on Saturday doing their thing, and these guys are really good, you know. So there's so much there that to sit here and go through the entire list of Chiller would fill up the hour in and of itself, you know.
Guys doing Abbott and Costello are great. They hit it right on the head. I was there at the Bottom Line Club in New York City when Shanachie Video was doing a celebration of the release of the Abbott and Costello TV shows on their label. So on stage that night was Uncle Floyd, Joey Faye, my late cousin Sammy Petrello, who was the star of Bela Lugosi Meets a Brooklyn Gorilla, who was a great comedian. If you saw him back in that movie, he looked like Jerry Lewis. You thought he was Jerry Lewis. And they had a lookalike contest. And the guy who's playing Bud won for the Bud, and the guy who's playing Lou, his name is actually Lou, he won for the Lou. Mm-hmm. And after the show, they teamed up. They knew the routines back and forth, and they made this Bud and Lou team. And I took them down to in the old days, up through the 50s, any celebrity that was anybody out of New York City, and not even only New York City, but they came to New York City for him. The main photographer was James J. Kriegsman. And in the corner of these old photos, you would see this giant K. And that meant you had a Kriegsman photo taken of you. I mean, this guy did Johnny Carson and Fats Domino. And I mean, everybody on, you know, in their prime. And he was no longer around, but his son, his two sons, James and Greg, took over doing photography in the city. And I took Bud and Lou down to these guys because they had the old original equipment from their dad to make these shots look like they were from the old days, like real Abbott and Costello looking shots. And they got some beautiful photos done, but they're great guys and they are not to be missed. And I'm glad I'm glad they're at the show.
Yeah. I know Lou through the Joker's Child comic shop where I spend most of my time. And and he's a really sweet guy, really nice guy. And I actually, we talked about this a little bit last time. You know, my father was a sports writer, and my father, there was a thing, there was the Lou Costello charity tent. the Saints and Sinners Club. And my dad, I guess, became an honorary member, and he got this really nice plaque that was illustrated very cartoony style, almost looks like a Dan DiCarlo, if you know Archie Comics, like that type of style. Great character of Lou on there. And, you know, this is something that my dad had hanging for years, and it went into storage, and, you know, with a whole bunch of his other things, and sort of waiting for the right person, right? Waiting for the right home, because, you know, some of the stuff I do want to keep, some of it I don't. When I met Lou and then talked about him with what he does and actually got to watch some of what he does, I said, okay, I got this I should give to him. So I remember I gave him this plaque.
That's really nice of you.
Yeah, and, you know, he was like, because he collects, you know, all that memorabilia and ephemera as well, because he is that, he's a fan, you know. And, yeah, sure. He was very, when I handed it to him, it was like, you know, the look on his face and just how he felt, you know, getting that, I was like, that was the perfect opportunity, the perfect time. So yeah, Lou's a really great guy. I've never met Gil, but, yeah, these guys, they're really good. They're like, it's almost like the real thing. It's amazing. And
it's
fact
so
that
funny, you know, because like,
yeah,
they do them
keeping
so well.
Alive too is great.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see them again. I haven't seen them perform in quite some time. Lou has been coming as an attendee to Chiller, but I haven't seen them do the Bud and Lou thing for a while.
Yes.
So that'll be fun.
Now one of the things, you know, we're going to move a little bit beyond Chiller, but again, I love how Chiller does combine the pop culture and the nostalgia, the film, television, you know, the memorabilia, but also the music aspect. And I know you are not just a big music fan, but you're also a music creator as well. And
well,
I know that you recently, you know, you recently did the car show, and you brought, Dean is still around from Jan and Dean.
Yeah. So here was this car show going on in New Jersey, you know, called the Dead Man's Curve Car Show. And if anybody knows classic music, Dead Man's Curve was Jan and Dean's song. And when you attend this car show that's been going on for 11 years, you go to the hotel, and they've named their lounge there for that weekend, the Surf City Lounge. And I'm just going, hey, you know who really belongs here is Dean from Jan and Dean. So I got him to come in. I know Dean since I'm 18 years old. I was instrumental in getting Jan and Dean reunited. I made the phone calls to Murray the K and Ron Delsner, and next thing you know, I was watching Jan and Dean perform for the first time since Jan's accident in concert at the Murray the K Brooklyn Fox reunion show at the Palladium in New York City in 1978.
Wow.
And right after that show, Mike Love asked if Jan and Dean would be guests of the Beach Boys and took them on the road for about 2 weeks. And I was lucky enough to be invited on that tour. Here I am, an 18-year-old kid, and I helped Jan, you know, with his songs before the shows. It was an absolute dream. I have pictures of me on the bus and on the plane with the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean. And it was like whenever I show people these pictures, they go, "Did you see Almost Famous?" You know, it's kind of like,
you kind of lived Cameron Crowe's life a little bit. In a different milieu. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And so that I'm sure that was a great time. That was Dean's first real appearance like that, correct?
Absolutely. Dean had never done a sit-down appearance at any kind of a show doing a signing. Dean would, you know, if you were lucky enough to catch Dean after a concert, you know, he would sign a couple of things for people. But this was the first time Dean was actually sitting at a table, you know, advertised that he was going to be there. And, man, there were such fans coming out. The first guy that came up had like 15 items with him. He had glove compartment doors from Corvettes that he took out of the cars that he wanted Dean to autograph, and a surfboard. He brought a surfboard. I mean, it was
just
unbelievable. And Dean had a lot of fun. He had a lot of fun there.
Yeah. Another really very prominent figure in music, especially this time of year, that you were very close and very good friends with, Bobby Pickett. We talked a lot about that last time, and I find that interesting because as we were talking before, as I was having my pre-show cigarette, I was looking around, you know, just for something to read or whatever, and found this article that went up, I guess, yesterday from NewsNationNow.com about the Monster Mash, and the lyrics that the backup singers were singing about tennis shoes, doo-wop, doo-wop, doo, you know. And it's great.
Yeah.
Check the article out. It's a really cool little brief summary of how Monster Mash came together, you know, how Bobby Pickett wanted to go in one direction but had this little Boris Karloff bit that he would do. That eventually led to doing the song Monster Mash in that Boris Karloff voice. And
He had a group in the 50s called the Cordials, and so they would do Little Darlin', a little darlin', bum bum, da darlin'. So it would come to the break where normally it would go, little darlin', I need you to hold my hand, and he would do it as, little darlin', I need you to hold my hand, and he killed with that. And then his friend who was in the band, Lenny Capizzi, said, you know, hey, why don't we do something with that Karloff voice and a rock and roll song? And Bobby was like, I want to be an actor. I want to go to California. And he was like, well, I'm going to work on that song. And so they wrote the song real quick. Bobby went out to California, didn't get as successful as he thought he was going to get, came back and said to Lenny, let's look at that song again.
Tragically, as it says in that article, he had hired an agent. And then the agent dropped dead of a heart attack like 2 weeks later.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, let's do this song.
Let's get this song out of the way. And he didn't think much of it. And then all of a sudden it started to take off. Now, here's a little history. When that song, I don't know if I talked about this last time, but when that song first came out, it came out on Gary Paxton, who was the producer, who was the lead singer of the Hollywood Argyles, who did Alley Oop. And he was also in Skip and Flip, those guys. So Gary had a little label called Garpax Records, but it was a locally distributed label. It wasn't national. So they did Monster Mash and put it on Gary's label, and they were getting it around. And all of a sudden, the guys who handled Zacherle, who John Zacherle was like, he took off already. He did, you know, Dinner with Drac, and he was the monster song guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they hear Monster Mash and they were like, oh, hey, we got to do this. So they bring the song to Zach. Zach records it, and his next album comes out immediately, and it's called Monster Mash. Okay? So Zach did a fantastic version, but had Bobby's version not been as great as it was, that would have been the end of the story. But then what happened was Bobby got national distribution. Everything took off, and both guys had great success with Monster Mash. And the first time I met Zacherle, I came up to him at Chiller, and I said, hi, Zacherle. I said, I manage Bobby Boris Pickett, because I don't know if we mentioned this, but I was his manager for 18 years. And so I said, I manage Bobby Boris Pickett, and Zach said to me, he goes, you do? He goes, well, I always tell people that my version of Monster Mash is me doing an impersonation of Bobby Boris Pickett doing an impersonation of Boris Karloff.
That's great. Zacherle was such
beautiful.
A class act, man. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And when I first talked to Kevin Clement from Chiller, that was my first talk with Kevin. I said, I handle Bobby Pickett. And Kevin said, well, you know, I'll have him come in only if he agrees to bury the hatchet with Zach, and they sing Monster Mash together. And I'm like, bury the hatchet. That's why I went up to say hi to Zach. So I found out there wasn't any beef between them. It was just this kind of little mishap that was pretty much put together by their representatives, you know?
Yeah.
And they found themselves in that situation. So they did what Kevin wanted, and they got together on stage. And I tell you, there are so many hits on that thing still on YouTube. If you check and you put in Bobby Pickett and Zacherle, they did it twice. They did it also near the end of Bobby's life. They did it again. It was just absolutely fantastic watching those two guys sing that song and take turns on the verses. And that was Chiller. And that's what Chiller is all about.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Exactly. And so there's a great Bobby Pickett website, right, where you can kind of get
Bobby's official website. Yeah, so if you guys out there want to download Monster Mash, you can go to themonstermash.com altogether, themonstermash.com. And when you go there, click on it. You'll see my info on there, but then you'll see links that you can click on, you know, Spotify and iTunes, and you can download Monster Mash so that you'll make sure you have it for yourself in your phone, make it your ringtone, you know, and get it for your parties and all that stuff. And that would be great. I want to touch on one more thing here. The article that you were talking about that you just read is talking about the backups on Monster Mash, where some people just assumed they were saying shoo-be-doo-wah-oo. They were saying tennis shoe wah-oo. And that's what was in the background. So the new story that came out said they even asked Bobby back when, and Bobby didn't. Nobody remembered why on earth they sang tennis shoe wah-oo, other than it was goofy. So here's a funny little story. We were doing the TJ Lubinsky PBS Oldies special, and Bobby was brought in to do Monster Mash. So I get together with the people on stage, the band and the backup vocalists, and I tell the backup vocalists, it's tennis shoe wah-oo. And they go, okay, great. And they write it down. Okay, we got it. So now we're sitting there in the seats. There's nobody else in the whole place. This is the rehearsal. And Lubinsky is sitting there, and I'm sitting there with Bobby. No, I'm not sitting with Bobby. Sorry, Bobby's on stage. I'm sitting there. Lubinsky's sitting there. And they start running the song. You know, while I was working in the lab, labor, and they start going, ooh, tennis you, wow. And all of a sudden, Lubinsky stops, wait, stop, really loud on the mic. And so everybody stops, and he goes, you know, the backup vocals sound a lot like tennis shoe wahoo. And Bobby doesn't miss a beat. There's a pause of silence. And then Bobby goes, DJ, it is tennis shoe wahoo. that was it. The final word. And it went off, you know, and everything was great. But Lubinsky thought he caught something weird going on. And
But Bobby was there the whole time.
Bobby was not shy. Yeah. Bobby was not shy about ever confronting people with stuff like that.
Yeah. So like, nope, that's what it is. It's always been. We're going to do it this way.
That's it. But Lubinsky was so like, you know, that sounds like tennis shoe. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, guess what?
Now,
so,
another,
anyhow, yeah.
Another musician that you worked with, the great Tiny Tim.
Yes,
and
Tiny
wrote a song for him.
I did. This was a childhood dream come true for me. When I was a little kid, you know, here I was 8-9 years old. My parents brought me, you know, over to the TV and said, "You got to see this guy," you know. And there's Tiny mm-hmm. Tim, you know. Tiptoe, you know, with the ukulele and the whole thing. I was looking at Tiny Tim like he was Pee Wee Herman, you know, like bigger than life. Like there was this big cartoon character all of a sudden I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And I thought he was the coolest thing I ever saw. And I'm like 9 years old, and my folks let me stay up to watch his wedding on the Tonight Show, which was late for a little kid, you know. Yeah, 11:30 at night,
right?
You know, but to Miss Vicky, absolutely. Victoria Budinger from Haddonfield, New Jersey. And dream come true for me. You know, a couple of things along the way. I had met Tiny. I interviewed Tiny. And all of a sudden, I woke up one night when all that stuff was going on where there were Elvis Presley sightings. You know, oh, Elvis was seen here and Elvis was seen there. I woke up and I had this song in my head. And I started writing it down, and I called up Tiny. I said, "Tiny, I got a song for you." I said, this is something you have to hear." And what I wrote was a song called "I Saw Mr. Presley Tiptoeing Through the Tulips." Okay, and we started it off with "Don't, don't," you know, like Jailhouse Rock, "Don't, don't," And then all of a sudden you hear ding, 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 you're hearing the ukulele, you know, and the lyrics were, you know, late last night while looking out my window, I saw a star that everybody knows. Some may think I'm crazy when I tell them he sang Love Me Tender, then handed me a rose. And then the chorus is, I saw Mr. Presley tiptoeing through the tulips in my backyard garden late one night. Oh, I would do the whole thing in Tiny's voice, but it would sound so weird. I saw Mr. Presley tiptoeing through the tulips in his suit of white. I'm forgetting my own lines. I thought that it was him, my friends. Forget it. Anyhow, it's on YouTube. Somebody put it up on YouTube. And the funny story with that is I did do the falsetto in the demo. It was my friend playing the piano, my friend Billy. And so it was me going, I saw Mr. Presley tiptoeing through the tulips. And I play it for Tiny. I'm sitting in his apartment with him, and he listens to it, and he goes, oh, that's a wonderful song, Mr. Hirsch, but I really can't do the falsetto. You do the falsetto very well. Why don't you do it? And I said, Tiny, who the hell would want me to do it? I said, you're Tiny Tim. You have to do it like this. And he goes, well, maybe I can do it in my low voice. Yeah. He says, well, maybe I could do it in my low voice, Mr. Hirsch. And I said, well, no, you have to be Tiny Tim. And I, you know, here I am. I was the biggest Tiny Tim fan. And here I am, my chance to finally do a record with him. And I wanted it to be Tiny Tim, you know?
Yeah.
And so I every day when I picked him up at the Hotel Alcott where he lived, which was just a couple of buildings over from the Dakota where John Lennon lived, he would be waiting outside in his just looking like Tiny Tim, like in a big suit with Mickey Mouse's all over it, and, you know, a flag tie that looked like the American flag, and you know, so Tiny would get into the car, and the whole car ride up to the studio, which was in Yonkers, New York. Playing him his old records from, you know, from the 60s. And I would go, oh, Tiny, listen how great you sounded on this one. Oh, and I love this one. And I was just really just psyching him up for this. And we got him in the studio. We took it in pieces. The engineer was this wonderful guy named Jim Reeves, who luckily had a studio in his house in Yonkers, but was a former Columbia Records studio engineer. And had done Sinatra and ZZ Top and all these people. And between me and him, me producing it, him doing the engineering and smoothing out the vocal, Tiny was blown away by the end of this song. Tiny actually went on Howard Stern and Dr. Demento and was raving. He was like, and this man, Mr. Hirsch, he kept his promise and he made me sound like I did 20 years ago. It was such a pleasure.
Yep. Believe it or not, Stuart, we're almost at the end. We have just a couple minutes
really?
Left here.
I
know. So tell you what.
Okay, cool.
Tell you what. You want to come back in April?
Oh, yeah, you got it, pal.
All right, cool. First of all, I love your life. I love I love that you said the sentence, I woke up, I wrote this song, and then I called Tiny Tim. I love that. I do feel like that's just so cool. What a great life, man. You got to write a book.
Thank you, man.
I really think you've got some great stuff there.
And listen, your show is amazing. I love your energy.
Oh, thank you.
And keep
thank
it going.
You.
Keep the happiness going for people, the positivity. It's electric,
always.
And it's magical, and it's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. I really appreciate that. Now, you've written a bunch of songs, and you were telling me you can listen to your songs on SoundCloud, correct? Let's get that out of the way before we say goodbye.
Yeah, I have some of my old demos on SoundCloud. You can listen to them. They're songs that never really, you know, I didn't, but it's me, and it's stuff that I was doing, and it sounds very cool and very 60s-like. So, you know, as long as you spell my name correctly, you'll be able to find me on there.
All right. Very fun. Very fun. And, of course, you know, you are the king of karaoke of Yonkers area, I believe, right? So if you're ever
I met my current fiance on a karaoke app called Smule, S-M-U-L-E. And she was from Indiana. She came in and met me, and we've been together for 2 years now.
Congratulations. That's awesome. That's great.
And she's beautiful, and she sings, and her name is Angela Lynn. She's a wonderful person. I hope you get to meet her sometime, John.
I hope so, too. I definitely hope so. Well, look, we got to wrap it up. Man, you are such a delight. You are so much fun. You are such a great person to talk to. I love that I've had you on twice now. I'm looking forward to the third time. Eventually, we'll get to that John Lennon story that I keep pushing off now. Now two episodes. We'll get to that next time. But
okay.
Killertheater.com. Remember, it's classy, so it's theater with an R-E. Check out that great guest list. Go and see it the last weekend of October for Halloween weekend. You are going to have a blast. Yeah. You're going to have a great time. Make a point to say hello to Stuart and to meet his guests as well. Join us here next month for the Pep Talk. I'm John Pepe. You will always be able to find me at the Joker's Child in Fairlawn, New Jersey, doing my thing there. Until next time, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Happy Halloween.
Take care. Take care, everybody.